It's Sherry from No Crumbs Left, and I'm sitting across from Erica Van Dam at my local bookstore, Roscoe Books. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Terry. Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
We're talking a lot about, in this week in Friday Favorites, we're talking about small business. And I think anybody that knows me knows that I'm really champion small business. I love small business. I like my baker and candlestick maker and my, you know, fishmonger and hardware store person. And I know you and I are joined by our love of small business.
Absolutely. I'm very grateful that you have truly supported us this year. And, you know, I can only hope that we've done the same for you. It's been such an exciting year with the book out and, you know, a big year for us, too, I suppose. We turned 5 recently.
Wow.
And I never, you know, part of me never thought we would make it this far. And then part of me feels like it's only been a few months. It's strange. It's been a year of reflection and sort of looking back on, kind of what's been an awesome ride at this point.
And it is. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's incredible to be a small business owner. Tell me, how'd you get started doing this?
Well, I had a whole other career before starting the bookstore. I worked in ad sales for a media company and had been doing that for years, over a decade, and had my first child and went on maternity leave, and the job that I was in wasn't really the right fit for me to begin with. I came back after maternity leave, and suddenly the things that felt a little bit wrong suddenly felt very wrong, and I realized I needed to do something else. And, you know, after talking about it with my husband and thinking of things that could work to do next, I mean, we had just moved to our neighborhood and really fallen in love with it and loved the fact that there's this sort of central little retail strip with all these great things, but no bookstore. And the idea wouldn't leave me alone. I thought, well, maybe this could actually work. Maybe this is the right time to be doing something like this. Maybe this is the universe telling me that Roscoe Village needs a bookstore and I could be the one to do it. And you know, I was very lucky in many ways. A lot of things fell into place that made doing this easier than it might have been otherwise. But from the time the idea came about to the time the store opened, it was less than a year. So it happened relatively quickly. Well,
and I know that you guys, I mean, one of the things I like about bookstore owners and why I love supporting small and local is you guys also invest back in the community. You have programming for the community. You know, talk a little bit about that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's been important to me and to my staff from the beginning. I mean, I had always, in putting the store together and before opening, that was my vision. I wanted it to be not just a place where people could buy books, but a place where the community could come together for whatever, you know, whatever, be it book clubs, author events, maybe even things not all that related to books. And since then, you know, we have 3 thriving book clubs. We do author events. You know, we love opening the store up to anyone for any reason. It's, you know, it's important to us. It's important to us to stock local authors. You know, we've always done that. You know, we want to feel like we're a resource in the community for people who love books and love to read. And that's, you know, that's been so important.
And do you love to read?
Yeah, I always have. You know, I mean, even I was that kid with a flashlight under a blanket, you know, and luckily there are lots of us out there. And I've learned that from opening the store. I've, you know, been an avid reader from the beginning. And this, you know, opening the store has changed the way I read, for better and for worse, I would say.
Well, you probably don't have quite as much time.
This is true.
You know, it's like I used to entertain all the time. I used to have lovely parties.
Yeah.
You'd have friends over and make like unbelievable meals.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, I never planned to be a small business owner in a way it happened to me, you know, and I don't really have time to have lovely events. And if we have lovely events, you know, it's more like Roy's going to cook because it's not what he does every day. And he makes a pretty mean pasta. So what are some of your holiday traditions at the store?
Well, in the mind of me and our customers, the holidays really start the weekend before Thanksgiving because that's when we opened. And so that's when we celebrate our anniversary every year. We always do a party that Saturday before Thanksgiving, and we have a member sale for our most loyal customers. And, you know, I spring on a really good cake and it's a lot of fun. And that feels, you know, it feels really festive and it feels like the beginning of the holiday season for us. I mean, we always observe Small Business Saturday with, you know, baked goods in the store and discounts and free tote bags for people. You know, the neighborhood at large does a big Winterfest, which is it's this weekend, actually. It's always generally the first weekend in December or shortly after Thanksgiving, where, you know, the stores on the street will open up and stay open late and have wine and treats and fun things for customers. And we're a part of that, and we really enjoy it. You know, Saturday night is sort of the night when people are out and about, and it feels like a night out, and there's wine and treats. And then Sunday is really more about the kids, and there's Santa's workshop, and people go around and have pictures taken, and there are carolers. It's a lot of fun, and we love doing it every year. And, you know, it's chaos sometimes, but in a good way. We really love that. And then after that, I mean, we don't typically do many events in December because it's busy with holiday yes. shoppers, and we want to be there to be able to recommend things to people and, you know, have somebody ready to wrap gifts. And it's, you know, I know a lot of booksellers are a little stressed out by the holidays. I love them. I've always loved them.
I love the heartbeat.
Yeah.
Of, you know.
Yeah.
I remember the festival in the street.
Yeah.
We've been going since my kids were little, and I remember showing up, and the kids would be like, how does Santa know my name?
Yeah.
You know, and going down. And it feels like I come from a woman who, you know, a small world gal, comes from a small town.
Yeah.
And all of those sort of traditions were things that my mother really wove in our lives and that, you know, I wove in my kids' lives. And I loved going down for the Roscoe Village, you know, festival.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all the beautiful things, you know, that we do in the neighborhood. So when you say book club, like, tell me about your book clubs.
Sure. So we have, right now we have three. We have a general fiction book club, which I lead. We have a classics in brief book club that my manager thought of as basically as soon as he started working for me. His idea was to read classic books, so more than 50 years old and under 200 pages, hence the in brief. You know, kind of hit those classic books that you meant to read but never got around to. And then recently, one of my staffers started a nonfiction book club, which we had kind of wanting to do for a while, but we just never had anyone who could do it or, you know, had the time. We had customers ask about it, and so she started it up, and it's been going for, I think, maybe 6 months at this point.
And you guys hold them at the...
Yeah, we hold them at the bookstore, and it's informal. I mean, people just, you know, we always have a display of the featured book club books, ask people to show up, I mean, hopefully having read the whole book, but even that, you know, as long as you're willing to accept spoilers, that's totally fine. There's no sign up or anything. We always have free wine for customers. It's a great conversation. We really enjoy it. We were actually, our fiction book club met last night, and we were talking about how it's been almost, because we started running the book club shortly after the store opened, it's almost 5 years. And we were thinking that we've read 60 books as part of this book club, and, you know, some very different ones, some
wow.
that people really loved and some that really... people
so are people
love.
Reading like a book a week?
No, it's we meet monthly. So, you know, there is one book every month. You know, usually something that is relatively new to paperback or something that is maybe a little more obscure. We, my staffers and I all run our book clubs a little differently. I know my manager chooses the books for the classics book club. I choose some good options and then have the group vote.
So what have been some of your tremendous reads this year? Like for, I love to read. I mostly do books on Audible,
yeah.
I have to admit, because that is a way that I relax. I'm not really a big TV watcher, and it's a way that I turn my brain off, turn my brain to something nice, just get to sort of relax internally. But what are some of your beautiful reads this year?
Oh, gosh. Well, my number one, my favorite book of the year is a book called The Most Fun We Ever Had. It's by a debut author named Claire Lombardo, who actually grew up around here. She grew up in the suburbs, and much of the book is set in the Oak Park area. I was blown away by this book. I loved it so much. It's a family saga. It's a longtime married couple and their four adult daughters who are all dealing with various problems in their lives, and, you know, all of them sort of want to capture the happiness that they see their parents having with each other. But one of the daughters, a piece of her past sort of comes back at one point to, and it has an effect on everybody in their family. I was blown away by this book. I loved it so much. I cared about these characters. It's a long book. It's, more than 500 pages. And I don't typically read books that long because, when reading is part of your job, you want to try to read as much as possible. But I didn't want this one to end. I loved it.
What are some of your other favorites?
Let's see. What else did I really love?
Great sellers and, ones you recommend.
Oh, gosh. I love The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead. I mean, it deals with a heavy subject. It's based on a real place, a, reform school that a boys reform school that existed in Florida in, most of the past century. It only recently closed down, and there was some horrible abuse going on there. It's a fictionalized account of that, but it's the recent enough history that it really feels harrowing in a way that I wasn't expecting. And he's a brilliant writer, and you know that going in. But I love that book. What else did I really love?
Hey, what's something you love that was like a delicious, wonderful, beautiful read that wasn't harrowing?
Not harrowing. Let's see. There's a book called The Guest Book that came out in the spring, if I remember correctly. And if you love historical fiction, if you love kind of a family saga that spans the decades, I really enjoyed this one. And it's not, it's not all happy. Some bad things happen to a lot of the characters, but it's a beautiful story about, kind of privilege and reckoning with your family's past. And it's, much of it is set on this beautiful island in Maine that's sort of, the central location of the book. I really enjoyed it. There have been a lot. Every year I say this, but it really felt like a great year for books this year.
Some of my favorites is I love that From Scratch by Tembi Locke.
One of my booksellers just read that.
We've become acquainted through my contacting her. She's going to come on the podcast.
Wow.
And she, was named, it was like one of the best, Audible books or one of the best, what's it called when a book is narrated books?
Narrated, yep.
I love that Secret Language of Flowers.
Oh my goodness.
I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Gentleman in Moscow. I listened to it. And once you know, you're just going to relax in, and it's really about a lifetime.
Yeah.
Roy and I listened to it on audio and I loved it. I mean, I haven't recovered from ending. And I love, and I go back and read it again, is Time Traveler's Wife. Which is a local
local, and
she's supposed to be doing some kind of sequel.
I look forward to that. I think I've heard the same thing, and I can't wait to see it whenever it happens. There's so many good ones out there, and amazing local authors too.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how many fantastic authors live right here. It's awesome. We're very lucky in that regard.
So what are some things about running a small business? Why is it important to support small? I mean, that's what we're talking about on Friday Favorites is why is that important?
Well, I think you said it best. Small businesses give back to their communities in ways that larger businesses don't or can't necessarily. I mean, my employees are local people that are, trying to put together good lives. And my, we give back to our local schools. I mean, we have a wonderful relationship with our local CPS school, our, second closest CPS school. We try to do as much as possible to support them. We try to put books into people's hands that they might not otherwise, otherwise find out about. That's why we're here. I mean, we're not an algorithm. We try to find the very best things. And that's, I think, one of the privileges and, it can be a challenge too of being a small business is that it can't do everything. So what I am doing, I want to do as well as possible, if that makes sense. I want to curate the best possible selection of books for the store that I have and make sure that, I'm giving our customers what they will be happiest with and what they need, even if they didn't know it yet.
I like supporting the local community,
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a person that I really like knowing the people in my community.
Yeah.
I like those connections,
yes.
And I know that when, I'm looking recently for a vacuum and I know that I can go on Amazon, I know that's going to be easy for me, but I called my local vacuum store guy that I go to and said, I'd like to get this vacuum. And what I'm not going to look online because I'm not going to do that really. Can you give me what's fair price to both of us?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I can. Let me give you this off, because it's like, I don't want to walk away. That's something that isn't good for both of us. But I know for me, You know, I, you know, and often, of course, I do a swipe up to Amazon too, and I say, if, you know, if really this is what you can afford, then absolutely get it. But, you know, but the reality is that when, if you can afford a bit more, supporting a local bookstore, you know, matters. And we have a Pay It Forward program with the books. We always go, let there no crumble, you know, go without a book. We leave no crumbles behind. So we also have people in our community who you know, contact me and say, I want to give. And I always give them the Amazon price. And then I say, we make up the difference. We get it from a local bookstore. And it makes us feel good to give back. And I love that, you know, that everybody can be involved. You know, you got to be a blog subscriber and you got to be come over and, you know, you're involved in the community and all of that. And then we don't want anyone left behind. So.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic that, you know, I mean, many authors talk about, you know, their love for their local indies, but you really mean it. And you know, it's wonderful to see. And I love the fact that we've gotten to ship books all over the country to crumbles all over the U.S., you know, who chose to buy the book from our store. And that means so much. And I have loved it. It's been one of the highlights of our year this year. We've just enjoyed it so much.
It's really been fun. You know, and often people contact me and they say, how do I get a signed book? So I go, well, there's a number of wonderful bookstores. If you want a signed book, I don't sell books because that's not what I do. The local bookstore, I don't, you know, I don't carry them on the blog, but there are lots of independent bookstores. Yeah. And so if you want one, you know, I could be in this city this day. I'll be, you know, Chicago. I'll be in Napa. And I'm happy to sign one, you know, and get them sent out. So that's a lot of fun. When we went on the book tour, you know, I really specifically, I had a lot of fun partnering. And so we could choose a bookseller in each city. And again, we called and said, you know, we want something that just is fair for both of us.
Yeah.
And it was, I love meeting independent bookstore owners. I was able to go last year in January to the Independent Booksellers Conference.
That's right, Winter Institute.
So I was invited to that, which I absolutely loved. And I got to meet something like 700, you know, and it's just an interesting, like an interesting breed of people. It's just like, it's like every industry has their sort of person, you know, and in food blogging we do, but it's like, I don't know, but there's something that I love about bookstore owners, and I got to meet so many, and I went to a dinner and got to speak, you know, some of them. What are people in your industry like? How would you describe them?
I think the people in our industry is maybe the most wonderful surprise of doing all of this. I, you know, when I first opened the store, when I was attempting to open the store, when I was doing the research and looking for space and all of that before, you know, before anything was official, people were already coming out of the woodwork wanting to help. You know, the people that we have met, be they our sales reps from the publishers who, you know, sell me the books and want to share their knowledge, to my colleagues at other stores. I mean, I've met wonderful friends who work at other stores through this profession. I mean, it's like-minded people who care about the same things, and it's a wonderful group. I feel really lucky to be a part of it. Really lucky. You know, there isn't a day that goes by that I feel like I don't learn something from somebody else, you know, whether they've been doing this for a really long time or whether they're relative newbies like me. I mean, everyone has a slightly different way of doing things, and I think that's super valuable. I mean, there are, you know, the way that we can all learn from each other is really great.
Yeah, I want to notice that total spirit of camaraderie.
Yeah.
It's like a sisterhood, brotherhood thing. People really want to, like, help you and we'll go out of the way.
Yes.
And I just, people were, the booksellers were just genuinely interested in meeting me and knowing about the book. You know,
yes.
It's like they're rooting for you and they want you to win.
Yes.
Is really the simplest way that I can say
absolutely.
It.
You know, I mean, having gone to that conference for the past several years, I can tell you, like, it is, everyone is just happy to be there. Everyone is so excited to be there, to get to meet these authors in advance of their books coming out. You know, I mean, to be kind of on the front lines and know that we're going to be helping to sell them. And it's so much fun and a great way for booksellers across the country to connect with each other and learn from each other. It's, you know, something I really enjoy doing every year. And it also makes January, you know,
a little bit more bearable.
More bearable and less of a letdown after a busy holiday season, you know.
When you have a book, you end up with a publicist, at least at HMH I did. And so they're like, oh, well, you'll need your elevator pitch. You need when people come up. And I'm like, what? I mean, and it's natural for me to talk to people, but it's like you have 10 seconds to do your pitch on the book.
Right.
And it's a little bit nerve-wracking.
You realize how little 10 seconds actually is.
And there's always like, well, are you going to do a giveaway? And is there food at the booth? And,
right.
You know, all of that.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun for me. So is there anything about running a small business that would surprise anybody?
Well, you learn pretty quickly how much you don't know and how much you still have to learn. And that is still that feeling, I've realized, doesn't ever go away entirely. You know, I've been doing this for long enough now that I feel pretty comfortable with much of our day to day. But there are still things that pop up sometimes, or things that I have been doing one way that I could be doing another way that would make things easier or save me some time. I'm just like, oh, how did I not know that before? Or, you know, I mean, little things that, you know, involving operations or some weird thing with taxes or finance, things that come up all the time that, I mean, if you are doing it, starting it from scratch, or you have no small business background previously, I mean, maybe I would have known about it sooner, but it just, like, things come up as they come up and you just sort of deal with them as best you can. And that, you know, it doesn't go away. It won't ever go away. I will never feel like I know it all, you know, and that's okay. I've realized that that's totally fine and that we all feel that way to an extent.
It's definitely part of the journey.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for myself, I am a small business owner. I never planned to be. I mean, really, I'm a person that likes to eat and cook, and I was sharing my journey and my joy of cooking. And so, you know, and then Zach was working with me part-time, you know, helping me with some things. And, you know, as it evolved from sharing it, because it's like, oh, well, I can't, you know, just send direct messages with heroin chicken, you know, 100 times, you know, it evolved into something. But every step of the way, it's like we have an actual business. And, you know, it's like all the time it'll be like, well, you know, you can't do it that way. Where it's like, no, from a business standpoint, you have to do this, or there's this regulation. Mm-hmm. There's so much that we don't know. Everything we've learned, we've absolutely had to teach ourselves.
Yeah. Yep.
Which involves making a lot of mistakes. It definitely involves flying by the seat of our pants. It's what I find exhilarating, you know. And you know, and then there's just some downsides to business too. I mean,
sure,
just because there's
absolutely
stuff. We have our beautiful Maria, who we've had in the kitchen, and we love her, and she's been great, and she's been there for a couple of years, but she gave her notice because, you know what, and people don't stay forever, and it's like she's got to be on to her next journey. So you know, just at the point where you feel like you're set up, you're running, you're an engine, it's all good.
Yep,
all the pieces change, and you got to recalibrate.
Yeah, that's so true, and it's happened plenty of times, and it will happen again, and it's, you know. You fly by the seat of your pants sometimes, and then sometimes you just sort of go with what you know and hope that it works and tweak things as you go along. It's every day brings something new.
Absolutely. No. You know, for me, you know, there was the blogging and then, you know, this marinated onion bowl business, which just started from me wanting something in my kitchen and designing something for my kitchen, for my life. And, you know, how much fun it's been. It's where it's like, oh, let's create 50 extra. And, you know, those are gone. And then it was like, oh, well, what about other products and what other colors? And now it's, you know, we've got potters and there are, I think, 4 or 5 people there, you know, making. And we've got, you know, whatever, so many pieces in the line, lots of new colors, lots of wonderful things happening. What I like about small business is that we can decide to make something. Mm-hmm. We can have the product in the shop in 2 or 3 weeks. We can do a short run on something, you know, and we can just say, let's make 20 of these if we want, you know. And it's so much fun to sort of see all that unravel. And just like I know in your business where you've invited sort of your best customers and things this year, we were able to say, oh, for customers that, you know, have done a lot of shopping in our shop, we sent presents to many and, you know, pottery, obviously. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun when someone's like, oh, I got that email. Am I supposed to have gotten that? Or did this happen by accident? You know, but then there's like the time that the label was wrong and the potter sent 127 boxes out to people and did the same labels 2 weeks in a row. So we had to recover 127 boxes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And we didn't recover them all, but we recovered a lot of them. And, you know, they're going to be folks who are like, oh, my God, I got this. And, you know, you send them a label back and then they're going to be people. You're like,
actually,
we know you live on this street and we're going to come by. Anyways. But this is the way that we learn.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's and it's wonderful when you see that your customers really care. You know? You know, I love the fact that people are so excited when they could get something from you. And, you know, I mean, it seems like I had a conversation with one of our at one of our book clubs recently, and a handful of customers referenced one of our email blasts that I had sent out. I put them together and send them out to anyone who signs up twice a month, and it was they were all referencing it. It was clear that they had read it. Sometimes you send things out and you wonder if you're just sending it out into thin air, never to be seen again, and it was clear that they were looking out for information from us, and that was great.
I love that.
Made my day.
We had the same thing with the Friday favorites.
Yeah.
What started out as me just talking about some products that I liked, after like 6 months of that, I was like, I cannot really just talk every week about things that I want to buy. Like,
right.
That's just not, I have more to say. And
yeah.
So it's been fun because we're, you know, sometimes talking about gratitude and sometimes mm-hmm. talking about home cooks. And it's been fun to see what do we have reaction to.
Yeah.
You know, so there's certain ones we did, like the kindness of strangers. People really loved it, and they loved the beautiful stories, you know.
Oh, I can imagine. You know?
And then this week we did on gratitude, and I was like, normally we get a lot of letters and a lot of screenshots and all of that. This gratitude was sort of one of my favorite in a way. It was like different people talking about gratitude from their perspective. Didn't have as much. So it's fun to go like, what do people like? What's the feedback? Mm-hmm. Do we want to talk about food every week? Is it every other week? And just the freedom to feel like we can get in and do it and make mistakes. And,
yeah.
You know, because we have no idea. It's like the podcast. We have no actual idea.
Right.
We just know we're coming in this fabulous room. We have Jax here. She's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And that we get to talk on these microphones and, you know, have a lot of fun. So let me ask you, are you a cook? Do you like to cook? How did you end up coming to No Crumbs Left, by the way?
Well, that's kind of a great story. Our wonderful mutual neighbor who lives next door to you and across the street from me, she was the one who sort of put two and two together. I mean, I knew that I lived on the same block as a food blogger who gave out amazing Halloween candy every year. I didn't know that she was publishing a cookbook. I placed an order for upcoming books with my sales rep from Houghton Mifflin and didn't put two and two together that the book that I had just ordered was your book, my neighbor's book. And it was Melissa, thankfully, who said, hey, you know, Terry's putting out a cookbook. You have a bookstore. Get it together. And here we are. And I'm very grateful for that. Melissa deserves all the back pats in the world. I've long been, I love cookbooks. I've loved them for a long time. I really enjoy cooking. I don't do enough of it, I'm the first to admit. I mean, I have two little kids, and after a long day and running the store and getting them and taking care of them, sometimes, takeout is far too tempting. But on the times that I do cook, I'm always, always, always glad I did. And I find recipes all over the place. I get them from cookbooks. I get them online. I get them, some I make up and some are family favorites that have been handed down.
I love that about recipes. And people always say, where do you get inspiration? Because everybody gets in cooking ruts where you're like, what am I going to do? What am I going to make?
Completely.
What am I going to? I mean, for me, it's like I'm working on another Whole30 takeover. It's like, what am I going to do? What will inspire people? We want to just, sort of make it easy. But I get it from everywhere. So whether it's on Instagram, mm-hmm. whether it's on a blog, I love cookbooks. I love cooking magazines.
Yeah.
And I also really love, I use my community all the time where it's like I even just texted all of my dear friends and said, I'm working on the Whole30 Recipes Takeover. I need some just ideas of like, what are you making right now that's easy for weeknight mm-hmm. that you're into that you feel excited about? And, I sort of just need the idea and then I can totally take it and run with it.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite something that you can whip together that you know you can do?
Let's see. Well, there is... there's a stew that I do with white beans and kale and sausage. I use chicken apple sausage and tomatoes. And it was a recipe I found. I don't even remember where because this was years ago, but it's super easy. It takes very little time to put together. It's many things that you have on hand already. And I've tweaked it over the years so that I think it's just a little bit better. And serving that with, a hunk of crusty bread, I think is a very easy, healthy, delicious weeknight dinner that I'm always happy to put on the table.
What about doing kielbasa with it?
That would be delicious. Yeah. I've never tried it with kielbasa.
I just think kielbasa could be...
I have a pea soup that I make that's my mom's recipe. I don't know where she got it, but her version has ham hock. And I used kielbasa instead one time, and now I'm not going back.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the whole thing
is delicious. You get the smoky thing. And
you've got to have the ham hock.
Yeah.
I mean, Otherwise, forget it. So, well, I thank you so much for coming today. I love that you've
been
here.
Thank you for having me. This has been delightful.
So if people want to find you, Roscoe Books.
So, yeah, we are Roscoe Books, and our website is Roscoe Books, all one word, R-O-S-C-O-E, books.com. You can find all the information you need right there. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We do all the social media, and yeah, we update it regularly. We love to see you.
And this week on Friday Favorites, we're going to be giving a gift certificate away for Chicagoans. And we've got some of the other small businesses that we're going to be doing that. In closing, I just wanted to say that when I was growing up, I really didn't like to read. I mean, I think I didn't think of myself as a smart person because I wasn't academically gifted, you know, definitely street smart. But I definitely believe that about myself. And it's an unfortunate thing because if you believe it, that's what it is, you know. But I remember once I was missing after school and my mom couldn't find me and she couldn't find me. And, you know, it's that thing you call everywhere. And then the only thing, the only thing is that I must be deadline by cutter.
Right.
You know, and I came in and my mom said, "Where were you?" And I was like, "I was at the library." My mom's like, "The library? The library? You never go to the library."
I didn't think to look there.
So my thing is, like, to discover your love of books doesn't have to happen. Mm-hmm. There's no expiration date. It really, for me, came, I would say, more post-children.
Yeah.
And it can happen at any time. So if you don't, if it hasn't happened yet, just allow it to be new and discover and embrace it.
Right. Absolutely. Don't put pressure on yourself. It's about finding the right thing. The right thing is out there for everyone. I really believe that.
Small bookstore owners and employees can help you. Absolutely.
Yes. Yep. That is why we're here. This is why we do what we do. We love it.
We love people who love what they do. So that's No Crumbs Left signing off. Come find either Erica or myself. And I'm over Instagram, Facebook, or the blog. Have a great day, everybody.